Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrapping?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps. Wow, we have a huge, huge weekend of fights. UFC 246. One of the most winningest fighters in UFC history, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who is probably the highest record setter in all of UFC time, taking on the one and only, most impactful, probably most influential, game-changing fighter of all of UFC history and probably the entire MMA game, whether it's for positive reasons or for negative reasons, for our do's and don'ts, like don't adopt through the bus. Don't do that. Conor McGregor, this fight is his comeback fight from his loss to Khabib Nurmagomedov. I'm super excited to break down this matchup and give you guys the fun facts that you need, not my opinions, but the facts that you guys need based on what these guys have done in past and previous performances. And also, of course, I got to sprinkle a couple of my opinions in there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a very insightful perspective into the minds of the fighters. So I'm going to give you guys what I feel before you guys go out there and make these ever so, eventful bets that you guys are going to be making. And I'm going to tell you guys who you guys should be betting with as well, my bookie. I will let you guys know what the odds are. But before we get into it, let me give you guys the details. Now, when I think of the name Donald Cowboy Cerrone, I think head kick knockouts, I think kicks in general. He does a great job of utilizing that patented rock step on the front foot where he's super light. He's almost tapping. And he bounces it off while he's in transition, which allows him to spring off an attack very, very quickly to his opponents, especially with that blitz style that he likes to use with the punches and then into the switch kick. Now, when I see Conor McGregor, I think a guy who's super evasive, super accurate, and I forget the name of his, how exactly his quote goes, timing beats precision and power beats timing, something like that. Either way, I love it. I love the quick-witted quotes that he comes up with. I don't know if he writes some shits down and then spits it at us, but either way, it's good TV. And a lot of people, like he says, a lot of people think he's toast, but he's the bread. Wow. But when I see Conor, I think vintage style boxing. I think it's a new era of MMA. He's a pressure fighter where he walks you down. He likes to utilize different looks at his opponents where he's either using that Taekwondo kickboxing stance where he's kind of hopping. And he's pressuring you forward. He's using a long range. His legs are wide, which opens him up for a lot of inside and outside leg kicks. But he likes to play it off where he's shaking his head and taunting you, telling you to come in kind of like that's nothing and walk you down before he shoots in a fire-like missile of a left hand at your chin. Now, he likes to go for the knockouts with his hands, preferably. But he also likes to utilize the kicks, and preferably the one that I've always seen him utilize the most is the front kick, the rear leg front kick from the southpaw stance. Now we got two classic styles, orthodox fighter and Donald Cowboy Cerrone taking on Conor McGregor, who is a southpaw fighter. And we all know there's not many southpaw fighters out there, especially that high level of a striker as in a Conor McGregor in MMA, especially in the UFC. So with this matchup, this is why I'm super intrigued. I think Conor is playing a little bit of a game here. He's posting a picture on social media and he's using that to try to lure Cowboy Cerrone into a style of fight that favors him. We all know that Cowboy's boxing is not the cleanest and the most technical. So I lean to the side of Conor McGregor with the stand-up because all the fights start on the feet. Of course, kicks play a huge factor. I'm a big kicker. I'm a big believer in a kicker. I use my kicks almost like I use a jab. Now, the difference is Conor is super elusive and super hard to hit. He can bounce out of action and dart right back in and catch people with combinations before they even realize what's going on. And before you see it, before you recognize there's a punch coming right at your chin, which sits his opponents down or staggers them or stumbles them backwards. The other thing that I see that Conor's trying to do, it's him saying that he posted a picture. I believe the correct words for the caption were, the first person to shoot is a cow bitch or a cowgirl. I think he says a cow bitch. Don't quote me. Cowgirl, cow bitch. Either one. So he's trying to taunt Cowboy Cerrone out of not using his grappling. We all know the path of least resistance. Cowboy is the bigger fighter, the bigger frame. Who has Conor struggled with in the past? The bigger fighters, the bigger frames. He didn't really struggle with Max Holloway, but he had a harder time putting him away, who's a taller fighter, just as lanky, probably not as long as the reach in terms of the arms department, but he's just as tough, can take a shot, and can walk you down just as much as you can walk him down. Now, let's turn page over to Nate Diaz. Conor has fought Nate Diaz twice. The first one, he thought he was going to punch him out and end up punching himself out. Second round gets finished, rear naked choke. He has an immediate rematch. He stays at 170. This time he point fights because he knows his path of least resistance is to win the long game. He's not fighting the 45ers like he was before, where he's hitting these guys with these hands. No man can take that left punch. No man can take this left on the chin. No man can take that. So with that being said, I think him realizing that he's going up a weight class, now he sees that it's harder to put these bigger men down. And that's just logical, because the guys that are smaller, you can hit harder. So when you crush them, they tend to fall a lot easier. Now we increase that weight class by 10 pounds, another 10 pounds, and another 5. Where are we at? Where are we at? We're at 170. We are in the welterweight division. So we've seen Conor struggle with Nate Diaz in both fights, round 1 and 2. He slowed down in rounds in the rematch with Nate Diaz. And the main thing was, he said he made a huge adjustment in his efficiency of his energy. The first fight, he thought he could knock him out quick. It did not happen. Nate was eating the best that he could dish out to him. Nate was the bigger man in there. Took the punches clear on the chin. Eventually Conor slowed down. Nate sensed and smelt the blood, picked up on that, and just kept attacking, kept the pressure on him, eventually slapping him a couple times, doing it for Stockton, pop, 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 209, what? And eventually got him down and choked him out. Conor tapped. Next, he did lose to Khabib. And I'm going to break this down skill for skill in certain predicaments of these fights. But right now, the next fight, we have Conor taking on Cowboy Cerrone, a bigger guy. He can take the shots probably just as well as a Nate Diaz. Nate and Cowboy actually fought in the past, and he did take a lot of that punishment when Cowboy tried to fight him. Very emotional. He got very upset, felt the disrespect from Nate when he was like slapping his hand, telling him like, get out of my face, motherfucker. You know, we ain't here to be friends. Like, I crossed you pretty much when you saw your name on the dotted line to fight me. That's the Diaz brother way. That's how they are. They keep it hood. They keep it trill. They keep it gangster, dog. They keep it gangster. So that's one of my main concerns. I think Conor takes him down. Conor tries to. I think Conor takes him down, takes Cowboy down with the striking department. I think if he can get into Cowboy's head and make him say, you know what, I want to be known for my legacy and keep on a fun fight for the fans. I want to put on a show. I want to do what I got to do so my legacy stays intact and people remember me for being an exciting fighter. That's great and all. But we all know we get paid a show money and a win bonus. So if I'm Conor, I'm trying to pull all angles to try to keep this a stand-up fight for as long as possible. Take my chance that I could potentially knock out Cowboy, who's been knocked out a couple times and been in a bunch of wars in the previous 2 years. He's fought Tony Ferguson. He's fought Ally Quinta. He's fought Alex Hernandez. Who else was the other guy that he fought? I would have to take a look. But he's fought a lot of five-round fights, and that wears on you. He's fought Darren Till. He's been knocked out a bunch. So Conor might be feeling very, very confident that he could probably put him down. Now, if Cowboy is a smart man, he can play the game, make McGregor think and feel like he's going to keep it as a stand-up fight, maybe lure him in, maybe try to seduce him a little bit, like, yeah, and get him feeling comfortable, and then boom. Set him up for when Conor starts to go for the kill, he starts level changing and opening him up for striking attacks, preferably kicks, because that's what he's the better. I think he's much better at kicks, a lot more, I don't want to say accurate, but he's a lot more, it seems more natural for him. So if he starts adding the level changing, you'll see Cowboy does this a lot in his fights. When guys start to pressure him forward and he's doing his rock step and he's going backwards, he will duck his head and tie you up. Al actually capitalized on that with an uppercut in their fight in Ottawa. A couple of other guys try to capitalize on that. And some guys that got caught up in the clinch game, when guys rush in, Cerrone's able to tie you up, slow you down. Inside knees to the body. And I can't wait to break this down so you guys can see for yourself. So if Cowboy's a smart man, that's what he's going to do. He's going to make it exciting a little bit. Give the fans what they want, what they paid for, and then do what he's got to do to get his freaking hand raised. At the end of the day, he's not going to take a dive. So I don't know what anyone would keep saying this shit, saying, oh, he's getting paid to make McGregor look good. Cowboy's going out there to win. I truly do believe that. And I'm not the huge, I love watching Cerrone fight. I'm not the biggest Cerrone fan as a personality outside of the cage because he says some things that just don't fit me. But it's not about me right now. It's about these guys. So me saying that, I just want you guys to acknowledge that I see the potential for Cerrone to win this fight if he plays it the right way and stick to his guns and stick to the game plan. At the end of the day, you want to make an exciting fight, but the main goal is to get your hand raised. Let's dive into the fine details. Okay, so we're going to talk about Cerrone's fight with Michael Perry, where Cerrone actually displayed some real high-level grappling IQ as well as technique. Now, one of the things I will say is he's not as strong as a wrestler as a traditional wrestler. At the 2-minute mark of the very first round, he goes in for a takedown. When people start to blitz him, and I talked about this earlier, he has a tendency to duck his head and then try to barrel in to tie you up into the clinch. He shoots in. Perry shrugs him off, pulls him up, puts him into a double underhook clinch, and steps behind with his right leg, sweeping him down to the ground right into side control. But Cerrone, like the veteran that he is, I'm telling you, his grappling is the easiest, by far, the easiest method for his path to victory against Conor McGregor this weekend. So he gets taken down to side control. He bides his time. He does a very good job of using his right hand to control inside the bicep of Michael Perry. And eventually he waits and he traps the arm in what we call kind of like an up and over type of sweep, but from a different position, which is a side control. Normally we do the up and over from the full guard position when you're on your back. He sweeps him over, ends up in the top position, and does not let Perry out. Now you can see where Perry is in his position and Cerrone is mounting him almost like a side mount where he's kind of sitting and he has a seatbelt position where he's letting his head hang over Michael Perry's head, keeping him and preventing him from being able to stand up. That is a very difficult position, something that you might see Khabib utilize all the time. And we all know who had the last win over Conor McGregor. So it's a no-brainer on what his strategy should be. Now, at the 56-second mark, Cerrone goes for an armbar attempt as Michael Perry is trying to escape. Now, Michael Perry is out. He's out of the full guard, and he's posturing over Cerrone, looking for what we would call ground-and-pound strikes. Now, Perry allowed Cerrone to tie up and get a high guard with his legs, shooting him up around the 35-second mark, and tying him up and managing to slow him down. And at the 26-second mark, he switches over and transitions right into a beautiful arm lock. And from here, he goes belly down. And then as he knows he has the lock, he looks up with the grimacing look and stares for the cameras and makes the meanest, toughest face that he can make, letting everyone know, I got this shit. He gets up. Where's my baby? Where's my baby? Bring me my baby. Dad Cerrone. Now, at the 4-minute and the 44-second mark, we see Cerrone once again duck his head, level change in for a tie-up into the clinch. Now, he does a great job of utilizing that overhook with his right hand. Now, Perry's trying to attack with knees. He's using his right hand to block Cerrone's knees, but Cerrone's a veteran. He's using his right hand to grab the elbow of Perry and getting clean strikes at his targets to the abdomen of Michael Perry. Now, he uses this a couple of times, and he digs it in, and this is also going to be a key to victory and beating up Conor McGregor in the clinch and slowing him down for the duration of the 5-round fight. We all know that Conor McGregor has a tendency to slow down. Now, in the fight with Cowboy Cerrone versus my teammate and friend, Ally Quinta, at the 4 minute and 35 second mark, we can see Cerrone try to push forward with that blitzing combination that he typically likes to do in just about every single fight. Now, Al does a great job of stepping back, and he's able to read the timing. Now, Cerrone starts to pick up that he can get off with the leg kicks. Even though Iaquinta is utilizing the leg kicks, Cerrone didn't do a great job of checking the kicks until later on in that fight. And eventually, Cerrone started to go off to the races with just laying the inside leg kick and the outside leg kick. And I think that's going to be a big weapon for him in this upcoming fight against Conor McGregor. If he uses this, he can maintain the range. He does a great job of tapping off the lead leg and using it as a teep, which I consider using the teep as a jab. It's a foot jab, as some people like to call it. And it does a great job of maintaining the distance. And a guy like Conor McGregor, who has a shorter frame, and I personally do not think Conor likes to be kicked. Anytime you've seen him get kicked, he has a tendency to shake his head and try to wave it off and downplay it like it's doing nothing to him. But we all know leg kicks hurt. Now, also at the 1 minute and 4 second mark of the first round, Al does a great job of faking down low and coming up underneath through the guard of Donald Cerrone, landing that uppercut, because Cerrone, time and time again, he likes to duck his head. So Al does a good job of catching him with the uppercut and then following up with another combination and landing a nice left hook to the chin. And we all know the best strike of Conor McGregor seems to be that left straight punch. Now, at the 50-second mark, this is where a guy like McGregor has to be careful. Al throws a slick jab that gets in there, and Cerrone, right away, he returns a quick switch kick to the head on Iaquinta. Now, we all know McGregor is going to use a lot of boxing, so for him to get inside, he has to make sure he's in and out. Otherwise, Cerrone's quick touch muscles with his leg kicks and his head kicks, they could pose a lot of problems for a guy who's a shorter man in Conor McGregor in this matchup. Now, round two, about the 24-second mark against Ally Quinta, we see Cerrone getting caught and biting on the heavy fakes of Al. Al goes to the body because Cerrone thinks he's going in for a takedown. He drops down for the level change, and then Al comes back with a nice slick combination. And at the 13-second mark, Cerrone lands a faint cross, a faint jab, and then goes down low to the leg kick, which lands flush, but Al counters with a nice stiff right hand that seems to buckle and stagger Cerrone back. Now, Cerrone's going to make sure his keys to victory, he has to get in and out. Now, we're going to look at a close fight in T. Ferguson, El Kukui versus Cowboy Cerrone. Now, right here against T. Ferguson, Cerrone blitzes in the first round at the 3 minute 23 second mark, and he lands a nice, great combination. Now, later on in this fight, we're going to see when Ferguson starts to pick up the pace and starts to get a little bit more unpredictable, stepping in with elbows, stepping in with spinning elbows. Then it starts to pick up the pace and really start to find a home for his strikes. I don't think there's going to be much spinning shit from Conor McGregor in this fight, like a guy like Tony Ferguson. But if Conor is to follow a path like that, if it does get to that type of fight where it's close and gritty and you got to just push forward, that would be a great way for him to attack. Because now, once the fight starts to get into the spinning stuff and starts to get more into the element of Tony Ferguson, Ferguson starts to find a home for that jab over and over again throughout the duration of that 3-round fight. One of the beautiful combinations that Donald throws is a slap check hook into a rear kick. And that's going to happen right here at the 2 minute and 48 second mark of round number two. Look how he pushes him in with the slap hook right into the power of his rear kick. Slap three or a hook, just pushing your opponent right into that rear kick. Now, Donald Cerrone versus Justin Gaethje. Round one. Now, here we are. Now, you're going to see Cerrone once again push forward. This is one of his best combinations that he does time and time again. But this time, as he's pushing forward, he gets capitalized on by Justin Gaethje. The power of Justin Gaethje is no joke. And as we're being told, the power of Conor McGregor up at 170 is supposed to be no joke this time around. So we're going to see if he's able to translate the power and the time that he's had to stay up at 170 and not cut any weight. Will it translate into the same effectiveness of his strikes, of being able to sit his opponents down the same way he did when he was fighting at 145? So right here, Cowboy pushes forward, Gaethje covers, hits him with a check hook, pushes him to the side. As Cowboy falls to the side, he tries to regain his balance. He's off-centered. He pushes forward again with his left hand, which kind of turns into a straight punch. And Justin Gaethje slips out of the way and comes back and bangs him with the right cross that sits him down. As he's down on one knee, he's looking up at Justin Gaethje. Gaethje follows up, pushes forward, clinches him with his left hand behind his head, and follows up with a bunch of uppercuts that eventually put him down. And the ref had to stop the fight, looked on, and kind of took a little long to stop the fight. And Justin Gaethje got a little pissed off about that, rightfully so, because he didn't want to hurt the guy anymore. He was clearly out of the fight, and he got the stoppage. Now we're going to talk some Conor McGregor. I know this is what you guys have been waiting for. Now, one of the things about Conor, when he fought Chad Mendes, he gets taken down instantly in the first round. He gets up, and at the 4 minute and 42 second mark, we see him use a nice long rear front kick, which hits Chad Mendes square to the body, trying to zap the guy's fighter who was taking the fight on short notice. Conor's no stranger to kicks, but he doesn't typically like to throw the head kicks as much as other guys like a Cowboy Cerrone. And then one of the other things that he did very, very well in this Chad Mendes fight was at the 4 minute and 4 second mark, you're going to see Conor utilize a nice hand trapping technique, pushing Chad Mendes backwards, kind of jockeying for position to kind of gain his ground. And once he does, he lands a faint one and fires off a two that stings Chad Mendes and pushes him backwards towards the cage. And Chad acknowledges it by shaking his head. And we all know when you shake your head, we know it had to do something. Now, in round two against Chad Mendes, Chad Mendes has Conor down on the ground on his back. And at the 48 second mark, he reaches over for a lefty guillotine, allowing Conor to roll through and bide his time for an opening to get to his feet. Now he's up on his feet. He's keeping Chad against the cage. Chad shoots in for another takedown, but Conor stuffs it. Chad is more fatigued than Conor McGregor is after being on his back and getting taken down three times in just two rounds. The second round's not even up yet. So we've seen that Conor can keep the gas tank. It just depends on the situation. If the guy's putting the pressure on him and beating him up at the same time, like we've seen with the Khabib fight. Completely different style of grappler. And then this moment, we see Conor pushing Chad against the cage. He lands that body kick once again while he's feigning with the hands, and he has a quicker movement still. He's still fresh, still bouncing on his toes. And those movements that's kind of like, it's the ones that keep you guessing. You never know when your opponent is about to come inside to attack. And then he goes in, he attacks, and he goes for the kill shot. He drops him with the 1-2 again. And this time, after he drops him, he follows up with some strikes in the turtle position, and he gets Chad Mendes out of there to become the interim world champion. Now this fight with Conor McGregor against Jose Aldo, one for the record books. We see Conor McGregor utilizing that touching of the hopping in stance, and he's hand trapping. He throws a side kick. He throws in a cross, and he leaps on out of there, gets his head out of the way by weaving out of there, just trying to get a feel and try to draw out the attack, the big power shot that he knows Jose Aldo is going to throw. And the reason why we know he's going to throw this is because of all the talking he did leading up to the fight, trying to get inside Jose Aldo's head. And I do think he did a great job of doing that. And we can see here with the results. Now, Aldo loads up. He tries to throw a big shot. And as he's in transition to throwing that hook, he gets clipped with a left cross from Conor McGregor, which puts him down and out before the follow-up hammer fist. And the ref is able to get there in time to stop the fight. Now, one of the greatest fights in terms of buildup, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz, the first fight. So we'll see right here, Conor McGregor leaps in at the 4 minute 25 second mark with the shooting uppercut from the lead hand and then ripping the body with the left hook. And then now we're going to get to the 2 minute and 25 second mark. Nate Diaz is going to wind up a big Stockton slap. And then he follows up with a 1-2, shrugs his shoulders and then says, "What now, motherfucker, what?" He comes after him. Connor's circling. He's trying to get out of there, but he's keeping the pressure on him. We know Cowboy does well when he keeps the pressure going forward. But this is also against a fatigued Conor McGregor. When Conor is fresh, it's a different style. Now, we have to make sure we keep in mind, can Cowboy Cerrone keep the pressure on a guy like Conor McGregor for the entire fight? It's 25 minutes. We've seen Conor McGregor go the distance one time, 25 minutes, and that's in the rematch with Nate Diaz, where he dropped him multiple times in the fight before eventually getting the this majority decision win over a super tough Nate Diaz. Now, here we go. You're going to see Nate push Conor against the cage after slapping him once again. And eventually, he gets him down to the ground. Once Conor decides, "I'm going to shoot," Conor shoots. He gets wrapped up in a guillotine, which stops Conor. Conor then has to force himself to roll to his back to defend. He gets out of there. Now, Nate's making it a dirty fight right here in the clinch at the 1 minute and 43 second mark. He's using a lot of right hands, getting him up there, head position, and he's controlling with his hips, pushing and driving his weight on Conor. Conor's trying to fight the hands and get out of there. Once he does, he shoots. Conor rolls to defend the guillotine. He defends the guillotine. Nate mounts him, lands a couple strikes. Conor gives his back, and Nate chokes him. Now, in the rematch with Nate Diaz, we see in round one, in the first 90 seconds, Conor lands 6 leg kicks right away, right off the rip. We already can tell what his game plan is. Capitalize on the leg, slow him down, and let's try to take this fight the distance before we could probably knock him out by taking away his movement. Those are probably the only few ways he was thinking that he could probably get his hand raised in the fight, because he can't try to punch himself out like he did the last time. Now, right here in round two, we see Conor kind of stalking Nate Diaz. He stalks him down to the cage, and once he gets him towards the cage at the 4 minute 36 second mark, he clips him with a nice 1-2. The two comes over the top of Nate's right hand and drops him. Now, when he drops Nate, he drops him a couple of times in this fight. And a couple of times that he does drop him, I want to say one or two of them might have looked like Nate was almost playing a game and kind of falling to try to lure Conor McGregor into his guard so he could try to wrap him up, maybe get the sweep, or maybe submit him off of his back, or at least try to get to a dominant position and slow Conor down by forcing him to grapple. Now, right here, we see a hard inside leg kick from Eddie Alvarez on Conor McGregor. Beautiful. Now, my only question is, why did he stop throwing the leg kicks on the wide stance of Conor McGregor, who is constantly reaching out and pawing, trying to trap the hands of Eddie Alvarez? Now, I will say, Conor does a great job of shaking his head and kind of brushing off your attacks. And when he does that, he can kind of make you start to doubt yourself. Like, maybe these aren't doing as much as it probably should be doing or that I thought it would be doing. Kind of does a great job of that. And he kind of lures Eddie Alvarez into his style of fight, dropping him 3 times in the first round. Now, right here at the 4 minute mark, Eddie Alvarez pushes in with the right hand. Who also does it? Cowboy Cerrone. And as he does that, he gets clipped and Conor drops him and tries to follow up and then gives Eddie Alvarez a chance, who does a back roll and gets back up to his feet. Now they're back on their feet and we're going to see Conor drop him again at the 2 minute mark, at the 2 minute 49 second mark. Let's take a look at this one. So right here, we're going to see Conor once again hand trapping, and at the 307 mark, he drops Eddie Alvarez again from rushing in. He blitzes. He gets caught and gets clipped. Now, this one's not as bad. He doesn't eat as many punches as he did the first time he was dropped. Now, at the 2 minute and 49 second mark, we see it again. He clips Eddie once again and drops him down on just being aggressive and off of his right hand, his right cross. Now, right here at the 2 minute and 1 second mark, we see Conor McGregor, he slips a lunging Eddie Alvarez right hand again and rips a big combination that is the beginning of the end. And from here, the fight stopped. And now we have Conor McGregor with two belts. So here's the big fight. Conor McGregor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, right here, we see Conor pushing and controlling the pace, long, rangy stance. He gets Khabib to the cage. He lands a straight left. Khabib backs it off, backs up and circles out using lateral footwork. As Conor lands, he bounces off the cage, circles out, lateral footwork. He then shoots in at the 4 minute and 42 second mark of the first round. Once he gets in, Conor has a great opportunity to escape. This is where he fucks it all up. He continues to tie up in the position. He's doing a great job of cutting the angle. He's cutting the angle. Khabib still has his ankle trying to pull in. Conor tries to throw a quick elbow. He does. But as he does that, he gives Khabib a chance to readjust. But then as he readjusts, Khabib stands up. Conor's doing a great job. Left hand through the butt. Right hand stuffing Khabib's head. So now Conor's controlling the ankle and Conor's trying to strike. Instead, he should be just trying to get his hips away. Khabib has a vice grip on Conor's right leg and eventually dumps him down, laces his leg, and then gets him to the cage. Now, Conor sits at the cage, and this whole exchange takes about 40 seconds. So 40 seconds of just grappling, scrambling around is very, very exhausting. I truly believe Conor lost a lot of energy trying to defend that takedown, staying in those scrambling positions. Yes, he landed a couple of good elbows in those exchanges. In that exchange, I should say. But was it worth it eventually being in a position that you do not want to be in against a guy who's world-class like Khabib? I don't think so. I think he should have sprawled, got his leg back, and keep the pressure with his weight in his hips instead of letting Khabib suck that ankle back in and get him back down to the ground. Now, Conor gets the chance to restart on his feet in the second round. But right here in the first round, where Conor's trying to get his legs out, he does it a couple of times, jockeying for position. Look what Khabib does so well. He steps over with his leg. First, he secures both legs with his hands. After he pins them together, he steps over. He laces it. So he steps over with his left leg. He laces it and pulls it in, scoops the ankle. Then he takes his right knee and drives into your legs so that both your legs are sitting on top of each other, laced up. That takes away all your mobility. Your legs need to bend in order to get up. This is what makes Khabib so good. And then once you try to shift, he then controls your wrists, pulls you to the side, and that's where he gets the angle to start landing a lot of ground and pound and getting your back off the cage. Your back against the cage when you're sitting is your friend because it gives you an opportunity to get back up, to use your force, push against the cage, and what we call doing a little bit of a cage walk. Hey, hey, hey. Okay. Round two, Conor comes out again, throwing a long front kick, and then tries an attempt for a flying knee. Khabib looks to the side, spits out whatever he spits out, and at the 4 minute 38 second mark, he feints like he's going for a takedown, and he comes over the top with a rocket of a right hand, and he's doing this off the bounce, so it's all off the footwork, because that's now he's in motion. You think he's going to push up the back leg and shoot, but instead of shooting, he level changes, and it comes over, and he cracks Conor and sits him down. Conor gets back up. Khabib rushes at him, trying to go for a flying knee. As he goes for the flying knee, Conor gets to the side, and he tries his own knee, and eventually he gets taken down again. So I'm going to say the moral of the story for this matchup, where both guys are extremely talented, and they are both fan favorites. Conor McGregor, the pride of Ireland. Maybe not the pride anymore, but he's definitely probably the most notable name to date in history right now, or at least still living from Ireland. And then you have Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who is any guy who's hunting or any extreme sports fanatic, he's probably their guy. He goes out there, he puts on a show day in, day out, whether he's winning or losing. So we got the pros. Conor, great with the counters, nice and elusive on his front foot. He can get out of the way. He can go wide stance and control a long range. He has a very unusual reach for his height. Not very unusual, but his arms are very, very long. So he gets to control the distance by pulling out, hand trapping, and getting his opponents to commit. And he leans forward almost. So when people think that he's there, he slides back out of the way just enough. and he cracks you coming in. Now, the Eddie Alvarez fight, you see a good display of that where Eddie Alvarez throws a left hook and then he throws a faint right hand. And he doesn't even lunge that time. Connor hops back. So he covers some ground going backwards. And this is what I love, because he steps in from the position that he's in where he's almost like falling forward and lunges back in. Boom, boom. Nice 1-2 and drops Eddie Alvarez again. And we see Cowboy Cerrone utilizing that knee, that step-in knee. Can he use that against Conor McGregor, who's maybe not going to be fighting that close at range? But if Conor goes to extend on a cross, his left cross, maybe that's an opportunity for Cowboy to use that. I'm going to say if Cowboy wants to keep this fight standing, his best ways of attacking will be to utilize his kicks, utilize his knees, and maybe even throw some elbows in there. Because we all know when he punches with those long arms, he leaves himself exposed time and time again. Conor knows this. Conor's a very intelligent striker. All he needs is one opportunity to lace you, and he's very aware and very elusive. Cerrone's defense is not the most evasive, and it's not the most defensive where he's blocking, shell blocking, wing blocking, whatever you want to call it. Philly shell, riding, letting punches right at the shoulder and bumping the elbow so it can go clean over the head. He doesn't really utilize those type of techniques. So he's definitely a hittable target. What he does well is he uses those long legs. He can duck in under a guy blitzing at him. He pushes forward if you're not that good and he can clip you. He has a decent jab if you stand in front of him. Conor's not going to be there to stand in front of him the whole time. So my analysis of this fight, before you guys make a pick, is will Conor go out there? It's not even, well, more so Cowboy. Will Cowboy go out there and take the path of least resistance, which is to try to draw Conor in and utilizing him every time he goes for that cross to try to slip underneath and tie him up and push him against the cage, being the bigger, taller fighter. Maybe he could strike with him for a little bit, get him tired, make him feeling safe. And maybe once he starts to level change a couple of times, maybe Conor will drop his hands, opening up an opportunity for Cowboy Cerrone to land a head kick. I don't know, but the odds are big for Cowboy Cerrone in him being the underdog. And with that being said, if you're going to bet, you got to use someone who's going to be good. I use mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. And for you guys who are signing up, if you are going to sign up for the first time, if you deposit $100, you'll get a 50% bonus, which means you'll get an extra $50 to play with. So if you enter $500 on a deposit, you're going to get $250. It's pretty simple. You go to mybookie.ag and use my promo code FUNKMASTER. Mybookie, MYBOOKIE.AG. So smart money is on Cowboy Cerrone to play the game and get everybody excited and make them think he's going to play the striking game the entire time until he gets caught and maybe get knocked out. But again, Cowboy is a good striker in his own right. It's just a different style. He's more of a kicker. He catches guys, knocks them out with the head kicks. Facts are the facts. Can he drop you with the hands? Can he hurt you with the hands? Yes. But can he do that against a guy who's more seasoned with the boxing and he has the vision to see the boxing a lot better and the reads a lot better, like Conor McGregor? And Conor is smart. He made the post. First person in the shoe is a cowgirl. So will Cowboy go out there to please the fans like he's been saying all along? I want to go out there and be remembered for being legendary. Or is he going to go out there and be smart, play the game, take Conor down, and get his hand raised and walk away with a big load of money? I don't know. Smart money is on Cowboy Cerrone. So remember, go to mybookie.ag, use my code FUNKMASTER, and when you make your deposit, they'll give you an extra 50% extra bonus on that. So remember, $100, you get an extra $50 to play with for free. So I'll see you guys next time. I can't wait. UFC 246. Beep. I'll see you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit or spin it. Bow, bow, bow. Back fist, baby. Bow, bow, bow. Let's go.